While we've been here so many other times as a black person is killed by police officers, is the beating death of Tyre Nichols by now former, thankfully, Memphis police officers resulting in something different? Has the reaction been more than just another call for thoughts and prayers, an expression of empty promises, battle lines drawn based on either race or prejudice? Has the fact that it was five black cops who beat Tyre Nichols to death finally placed the focus where it needs to be? On police procedure and how cops are supervised, especially when it comes to issues like their mental health. My next guest joins us to explore all of this, and she certainly is a go-to expert. She has been a forensic psychiatrist, an expert witness in numerous high-profile trials. She serves on UCLA's Neuropsychiatric Institute. She's the host of Dr. Carol's Couch on voiceamerica.com, and she is also an author whose upcoming book is Murder by TV, A Descent into Madness. Dr. Carol Lieberman, how are you today, doctor?
Fine, thank you. Good to be here.
Well, thank you for the insight you provide. I'm happy to be able to bring it to more ears here today. TerroristTherapist.com, and you can follow the good doctor on Twitter at Dr. Carol with an E, M-D. We have those links over at our webpage. As what the story stands, what we have had revealed to us at this point in time, what element are you still looking to hear more and find out more about that would firmly and more solidify what we are looking at here?
Well, I don't know that I have something that would, well, okay. I mean, this may seem like a small detail, but the one that I guess piques my interest the most is what was it that got these police officers' attention to begin with? Like, why did they, they're claiming reckless driving, but even the police chief has said that there was no evidence of reckless driving. And so what was it that made them stop Tyre to begin with? Now, the only things that I, have been sort of thinking about is, could it have been something about the car? Could it have been a sticker on the car, a decal or something? Not something, particularly aggressive, like, I hate the police, but just something that really irritated them. Could it be that they knew him in some way, or one of them knew him from something before? He didn't have a record, a criminal record, so it's not like any of them could have arrested him before. That is the thing that really that I'm the most curious about. But, in general, as far as the stop and what happened, I watched the whole video. And what it screamed out to me to be, besides the tragedy, is it reminded me of when I was on safari in Africa and I saw hyenas, a pack of hyenas attacking a vulnerable animal, a prey. And that is the kind of wild rage that these police showed.
And certainly, yeah, the video, just every part of evil that you ever wanted to have a visual to go with the definition, I think you see in that video. My question, though, what does this tell you, too? They were well aware their body cams are on. And there are ways to, I accidentally shut it off. We've heard those stories before too, but they're on. They knew they were on. They knew that this would be a record, and yet they still did what they did. In your expert's viewing of something like that, with that caveat being there and that fact being there, what does that make you think as far as insight into what their minds are all about?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, this was this new Scorpion division of the police force, where these are supposed to be the ones, sort of the most violent themselves in a way. I mean, not that that's how they're presented to the public, but these are supposed to be sort of an elite team who go after the most dangerous crimes, criminals. That when they see killing and rape and all the worst crimes, that is what these officers, this Scorpion unit, is supposed to go after. So I think that part of it was that they were each trying to outdo each other. They were each trying to show how macho they were, that they could be the worst of the worst in a way and be proud of it, you know, without sort of realizing, yes, they knew their cameras were on, but in fact, in a way, they were acting for the cameras. You know, they wanted to show that they were the toughest. And also, there were some things that they said during the video that were for the, during the attack that were for the benefit of the video. For example, one of them said, he's on something. Another one said, he reached for my gun. Another one, they were talking about their injuries. Oh, my knee, my leg, and so on. And so that, I think, was for the benefit of the video to show that they were trying to show that he was resisting. You know, they were saying, give me your hands. I said that a million times. So some of that was with the knowledge. Like, it was a little late. Like, it was kind of after. It wasn't at the very beginning that they were saying things like that. But, you know, it was as if they were trying to give excuses for the video.
And we've certainly seen, too, and this almost sounds like it's something of a cultural nature, too, within the Memphis, not just police, but even the EMTs and the way that they responded. Yes. It's just seems like there's a cultural issue here within those organizations, which is why you're making a call where I know there are police departments who do require this, but to make it a mandatory, maybe we need a federal law for, you know, if you want to receive federal funds for your department, here's something you have to do. And that includes psychiatric evaluations on a more regular basis rather than just on at the point of entry.
Yes, it would be nice if it could be done more voluntarily, but yes, a federal law might be a good idea. You know, I have spoken to some, like, for example, the sheriff in Los Angeles, and I brought this up to him, and I said, you know, why don't you, this was at a luncheon, and he was the speaker, and I said, you know, why don't you have this psychiatric evaluations both at the beginning before someone you allow someone on your force and then periodically to keep testing them just like they have weapons checks to make sure that because after all that they see and the PTSD possibility and other kinds of psychiatric issues. And his comment was in terms of why they don't do it at the beginning is because it's hard enough to get people to join the force, no less to put these blocks on it. You know, like a lot of people probably wouldn't even apply if they knew they had to be evaluated psychiatrically, even if they didn't have problems. But just, you know, that's daunting to some people. And also it would weed out the people like the five cops who attacked Tyree. And so so there's this hesitation. I mean, besides, of course, the cost and so on. But there's this hesitation. It's getting harder and harder to recruit police or sheriffs or because they get killed. I mean, you know, they just are sitting in a police car, and these days someone walks up to the police car and shoots them.
Yeah.
So, of course, and then there are police who are committing suicide because of the low morale, because of how they're, instead of being respected, they're being shot at. So these are all problems, and we have to get rid of defund the police. And, I mean, there's no way that we need more money for police so that they can do more training and more of these psychiatric evaluations.
So, Dr. Carol Lieberman, host, expert witness, author, upcoming book, Murder by TV, A Descent into Madness. That's the Jenny Jones story that, if you were a follower of that over time, you know very well. You can find out more about Dr. Carol's world at terrortherapist.com and online at Twitter. Follow her at Dr. Carol with an EMD. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I don't want to make this a bash the police impression either, because I understand fully, yes, having known many police officers and talked with them many times over the years, too, doing what I do. I don't want to make it sound like I've been pulled over and arrested a bunch of times, but it's not an easy job, and the dedication is certainly challenged because of the conditions of the job. But for a regular program of psychiatric evaluations, that would be for a benefit for the rank and file, because if there is, yes, a problem developing before the explosion happens, the fire could be extinguished.
Yes, yes. And yes, I'm glad you brought that up because, yes, these are just the Tyree five cops and the EMTs, of course, but these are just a few bad apples compared to how many the cops every day putting their life on the line.
It is a probably the toughest job to be dedicated to, but thank God that there are those who can see past the hurdles and see the purpose, as the age-old slogan goes, to protect and to serve, which these five certainly did not, I guess, were illiterate to in a variety of ways. But like I said in the introduction, maybe, just maybe, and I've noticed too in social media outlets where the blame the victim had been in the past numerous times, pretty much the root discussions would take. I don't see that this time. I see the cops being called out. I see the wrongs being placed in the right column this time. So just maybe, like Tyree's mother is calling for, maybe this time will be the time that actions follow the expression of sympathy and anger. Learn more about the work of Dr. Carol Lieberman, terroristtherapist.com. Follow her on Twitter at Dr. Carol with an EMD. Dr. Carol Lieberman, your voice is always one of education and reason. I'm glad you're here today to talk about this. And thank you for the work that you do to make us all take things more seriously.
Well, thank you.